Bubbly.
When we said that we were going to do these episodes, we're going to try to do them weekly.
Yeah, we lied.
We did. We lied. Welcome to K-Pop Parade. My name's Trinity.
And my name's Abby.
And we have tried to record this episode like 6 times.
You know, it's fine. If it works, it works.
So this is the K-Pop podcast where we talk about comebacks, we talk about news, we talk about quote-unquote scandals, because 90% of the time they're not actually scandals, and we try to fit as much into one episode without boring you. Let's go ahead and get the ball rolling. I actually do have a secret question of the week this week.
Oh.
So, surprise! What is a K-Pop group that you said you'd never get into, that you were just going to casually stan, and then you got way too deep into?
BTS.
Really?
Yeah. I said I was never going to do it because ARMYs are insane. And I was like, I'm never going to do that. I like EXO. I'm going to be an XOL. Here we are.
Here we are. All of this time later.
I wasn't going to do it because the first song I heard was like one of their really ridiculously hard ones. It was probably Cypher or something. And I'm like, oh, I don't like that. So then Bailey was like, I love BTS. And I was like, oh, God, why? And then.
And here you are.
And then.
All right. Mine is 80s. I was very adamant for like a very long time that I was just going to casually stan 80s. And now I'm going to see them in concert in April, and I have 2 biases, and I am in a little too deep. So I was up until 2 o'clock in the morning last night just watching, like, stupid 80s dorky videos. So, you know, it happened. So we're just going to go ahead from the secret question of the week and dive into, we have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of comebacks. We also did a challenge. So one thing that we decided to do was pick 5 songs of the type of music that the other one likes more and make that person listen to songs that they had never heard before. If you don't know much about me and Abby, Abby prefers...
Say it.
Soft,
say
pretty,
it, I dare you. That is not true.
Ballady songs.
Listen, we did this challenge and have learned that we know nothing about each other. So there it is.
We've only known each other 10 years and know nothing about each other.
I can't believe that's what you think I like. I'm offended.
You're not, because you know it's true deep down.
It's not true at all.
You like ballady soft things.
Yes. I mean, when I'm in the mood for it, but like, if you think I'm gonna walk around listening to Dark Cloud by Yuna on my days,
you all are
like just chilling. No, I'm not.
Regardless, and I always tend to lean more towards like rap heavy, harder songs. And so what we did this week was try to find songs of each other's styles that the other has not heard, and the other person had to listen and talk about them. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So, the 5 that Trinity picked for me were Till, the ballad unit by Pentagon. Probably because it's got ballad in it. No, also because it's Pentagon, let's be honest.
Uh-huh.
Take My Hand by Janabi. And I know that it's because it's from Romance is a Bonus Book and you just got done watching that.
Probably for the 3rd time. It's fine.
Yeah. And then Cruel Memories by Jung Young Hwa. I don't know who that is. But I did listen to that one, and I was like, oh, somebody needs to mash this up with Amber's Perfect. It was really good. And then Heaven by Ailee, which is super old, but good. And then Dark Cloud by Yuna?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. So, the only one I liked was Dark Cloud.
That's hilarious.
I don't know anything about Yuna, but I know she did a collab with RM, and that's the first time I heard her. And it was super good. And since then, she's released, I think, 3 more songs in succession. And they're all been, like, really big power vocals. You know how, like...
She is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Everybody was all... Back when Adele first started singing, they're like, oh, God, she's a powerhouse. Or, like, Beyonce is a powerhouse. Or Kelly Clarkson is a powerhouse. This chick is a powerhouse.
Oh,
fine with this one. Totally good with it. The others are inconsequential, honestly.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow. I really thought you would at least appreciate the vocals in the Pentagon one. Really?
It was so boring.
You're boring.
I am sorry. Listen, this entire podcast is going to be us disagreeing with each other because I saw you writing your notes and I was like, we're going to fight. We're going to fight a lot.
Okay, so the songs that Abby picked for me were TWLV, California.
12.
Lee Jinhyuk, I Like That. ELO, ELO, and the song was called OI. Winner, Every Day. Block B, Shall We Dance, and Bobby, Rest Your Bones. So, all in all, California, I loved. Put it on playlists immediately, just had a real good feel-good vibe. Lee Jinhyuk and ELO, I thought they were okay. Nothing special, to be honest. Winner, Every Day. Every single time I hear a Winner song, I'm like, why do I not stand them?
Why do you not stand them? I love Winner!
So this just may be my cue to just start standing Winner.
Stand Winner.
But I also, God, I'm just getting into so many groups too fast. And
well, see, we don't all have to stand at the level at which you stand.
Do you know who I am?
I do, but perhaps could exercise some restraint when it comes to standing.
For those of you who don't know me, I have a very obsessive personality. So once I like something, I like it, and I learn everything about it. And, you know, I went through that Supernatural phase, I went through the Doctor Who phase, I went through the Sherlock phase, and, like, everything in my life at the point of whatever I'm obsessing about consists of just that thing. And so when I got into K-pop, it was like, oh, this is going to be just a quick little, you know, it's a phase, Mom, and it hasn't gone away.
That's so, because there's too many facets for you to explore.
Yes, there is. And so I really do want to start getting into Winner because that was one that I really enjoyed. Block B, I like Block B, but this one didn't like jump out at me or anything. It was a good song. Just wasn't anything like me. Now the one that completely changed my life was Rest Your Bones by Bobby. Come rest your bones for me. Holy crap. That song is incredible. The number of times that I listened to this song on repeat after you sent it to me is probably a little bit ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Quality. That's
so
what my list was.
Good. Well, you say that. I liked a whole three of your five. I guess that's better than the one of my five that I sent you.
Then again, see, I was still wrong though, because there was a really heavy rap one that I had on my list and I was like, oh, this is too much rap. You know, she doesn't like pure rap. And then I played it for her just out of curiosity and she's like, oh, this is awesome. And I'm like, God, I should have left it on there. It was so, Ezra by Ravi, just in case.
Yeah. So now we know nothing about each other, and nothing. That's great.
Yep. It was a good learning experience.
So from here, we're just going to figure out our next challenge and hope that we do better about knowing about each other. So that's where we're at. Let's hit February comebacks because we have a lot to talk about.
You mean all of February?
Well, we still have a few that are still coming out this year or this
month. You're supposed to say yes, all of February.
All right. Well, let's talk about Black Swan by BTS.
Yeah. Black Swan by BTS was phenomenal.
It really was.
So my thoughts on Black Swan are pretty varied. First and foremost, the orchestral version is, I guess, complicated. I'll admit I can't watch the music video, mainly because that dude's shoulders freak me the fuck out.
I cannot watch the music video either. It was too distracting, and it's not because the dancers aren't talented. They have a skill that, like, I sure as shit don't have. But for me, always, contemporary dance is way too distracting for the music, so I could not pay attention to the song.
Yeah. I frequently listen to the orchestral version, like, on a different tab, so, like, I can listen to it, but I don't have to watch it. And listening to, like, a score like that without any visual indication really gives you a sense of how chaotic that song actually is. The violin in the beginning is really striving to keep up with that guitar, and it's frenzied, and it's desperate, and it's just how they wanted it to be. The interlude in the music is jarring, and it's dark, and it's just cut off at the knees. And it's exactly like losing your way in the woods would feel like, which I think is kind of apt, because when they did it live, they were in the woods. They were lost in the woods. But then the music starts up again. Just how inspiration strikes. You just know. And it's done. And you're there. And you're in the mindset. Between the two versions, I think it's better suited, the orchestral version is, to highlight the feeling that they were going for. Even without, you know, the magnificent ballet. And it is magnificent. I just can't watch it. Now, the performance version, it's more subtle and it's less urgent and it's resigned in a way that the violin refused to be in the other one. I remember hearing it for the first time on Corden and I was like, oh God, this is like a complete 180 from what the other one was. Everything from Persona and then even the rest of Love Yourself era was passionate and explosive, and they were all title tracks, you know, Fake Love, Idol, Boy With Love. They were all loud and proud. And then you have Black Swan. However, you know, it embodies its content. It sounds afraid to be too loud. That is, of course, what they were going for. But I wouldn't have thought that this would ever be like a pre-release song or like a single or like their title, which I know it's not the title, but it just goes to show you how BTS is shaking things up, not just within their own genre, but within their own concept. Like a mellow song about fear? Let's like make this a title track. Like, what the fuck, BTS? Can you stop, like, fixing everything for just a minute?
No, they're BTS.
Right? And then, lastly, I have a very strict hierarchy of my favorite BTS songs, but the orchestral version of Black Swan has really, like, swerved right up into the top five without anyone trying to stop it.
Well, there you go. Once I listened to it, I absolutely love the song. And one thing that I love about it is how the lyrics translate from like fear to hope, because it's like that fear of no longer loving what you do, that fear of what if this isn't right for me? What if this isn't forever? And then turning it into you do, and you're not going to let negativity break you down again. And this just has me super intrigued as to the overall vibe of what the album is going to be, because first of all, intro persona was very hip-hoppy. Shadow was very August D, very, you know, heavier rap. And then you have Ego, which we'll talk about in just a second. But I just thought it was such an interesting flow of a song. Mm-hmm. Because it does, like you said, that Lost in the Woods, that's very much the vibe that it gives off. It's that fear of, is this going to be forever? What do we do if it's not? And then it turns into, I love what I do, and I'm not going to stop. So this segue into Ego is, holy shit, first of all, this was so good. I love Hoseok so damn much, like for real. And what I love about the difference between the three solos is that Namjoon's was, who the hell am I? I just want to fly. Yoongi's was, don't let me fly, don't let me shine. And Hobi's was very, this is life and it is what it is and I will roll with it. So like from curiosity to fear to acceptance, I loved a lot of the Easter eggs that I did see in the video. Like if you pass, when he's passing by the record shop, you see all of BTS's albums. There's a room while he's driving through the city. And like, there's a tall building that has a room with a huge light in it. And everybody's saying that that's like a nod where Yoongi lights all the fires in his rooms in all the previous videos. But I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is that all of these solos felt very much them. Like, this felt like Hobie. It was bright. It was fun. It felt like a daydream. No pun intended, but it was intended.
Proud of you. Really proud of you.
And it's kind of amazing to me how, like, Black Swan fit all three of these concepts into one song. Because I kind of wonder how all the songs on the album fit between the intro, interlude, and ending. Because Black Swan, of course, goes from fear to hope, and that's kind of how the intro, interlude, and what is this song? What is this?
Outro.
Outro. That's what I'm looking for. And what's super cool is they're throwing a ton back on this new album. For example, we get a song called We Are Bulletproof, The Eternal. There are 20 songs that are going to be on the album, and I'm super curious to see how they're going to let it all build up.
You sent me Ego like 3.5 seconds after it got uploaded on YouTube. And it's good. It's light and it's happy and it's good and, you know, perpetually good. It's the exact opposite of Yoongi's Shadow. I don't really have like a deep dive about it because I knew I'd die if I did that. I would drown in YouTube and perish. So I was
so
gonna
many.
leave it to somebody else. And if anybody is wondering, Persona was formulated by a man named Carl Jung, who was a student of Freud. And when he realized Freud was crazy, he started his own school of psychology. So if anybody wanted to look into Persona, that's who you should look up.
Okay, next we have GFriend Crossroads.
I don't know a whole lot about GFriend, and it does feel a little cheap to me that I only took an interest in them because Big Hit bought them. But looking into
shallow.
Their background, I know, I feel bad. But looking into their background, they are a solid group that has been putting together and releasing quality music since 2015. So, like, they've been around for a long time. They've never lost a member. They've always been consistent. Like, why have I not been looking at them? They've been great. This is like Brown Eyed Girls all over again.
That's true.
Crossroads did sound like an anime opener, and which is not a bad thing.
I love it.
With its quick snaps and its like sustained chords, not to mention the strings at the back that are driving the whole thing. In terms of the song itself, it's fine to listen to, although it's not really my thing. Their voices are just very soft and feminine, which is totally fine. Again, just not my jam. And I definitely did not like the ending.
You never like anything.
But see, it looks like that's just going to be my fate from now on, because it seems like it's the trend in all music, not just K-pop, but all pop music around the world is just like, we're just going to cut everything off at the knees. There is no ending. There is no outro. You're just going to fuck right off. Like, fine. Fine. Whatever. I'll just die. Just can't have closure to my songs. It's whatever. In terms of music video, I think it was cool. There was no like elaborate costumes or sets or anything like that. It was an honest, modern look at their universe building and how each decision led them to another member. I thought it was like really refreshing and cinematic. And it was a good decision to put that sort of bland over this anime-esque, you know, song, because if there had been some like convoluted wardrobe or CGI set or some glitter or some shit like that, it would have felt really overproduced, and I know I wouldn't have liked it.
That's fair. So for me, like, the first thing I caught was the intro felt very like Alice in Wonderland meets Wizard of Oz. Like, she falls down a hole and then she wakes up in a bed and like, oh, okay. For me, it's very rare to see a girl group show, like, anger and hostility in a video. And there's a point where one of the girls, like, shatters a glass, like, throws a glass across the room and shatters it. And everybody's fighting and everybody's mad at each other. But then you have moments where, like, they're all having fun together as friends and they have fireworks at one point. And
it's realistic.
So it's just interesting to see that kind of a concept from women, if that makes any sense. Because we normally get the choreography over a green screen, or even the ones that aren't, like, you know, they have just very different styles. And this felt very different for a girl group to do for a video. I was all about the song. To me, it felt more like an anime outro song than an anime intro song. But it was definitely a wonderful breath of fresh air for me to get a different style of video for a girl group. So next, we have Everglow. And I'm just, the only thing I'm going to say about it is I want to put EU in my pocket, protect her for life. Other than that, I felt very meh about this video.
We're going to fight.
But I'm going to let Abby just go the fuck off on this one.
We're going to fist fight. Yes, so dun 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 dun. Yes, so dun. Listen to me. I love Everglow.
This is
the fucking one. This song is called Dun Dun, which we all know that Abby hates titles that aren't real words, and so that's a check mark off this song, but it doesn't matter. It is catchy, it is hardcore, it is man-killing. Mia is such a girl crush, I'm not even sure what to do with myself. And that pre-chorus, though, where you have this big lead-up, this it's driving, and then the music cuts out. And they go dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and you're like, oh God, what's about to happen? And then it drops, and you're like, ah, killed it! That might be my favorite part of the whole song. It's a moment of silence before they swirl in with a storm of kick-ass. And the lyrics talk about how this dude that they've set their sights on is so done. The fight is over. He's in for it. He's done. At first, when I first came out, I thought they were saying, you're so dumb, which kind of reminded me of Red Velvet's, you know, Dumb Dumb, which was fine. But this is even better. In their list of comebacks, it is a solid number 2. Better than Adios, but nothing can ever replace Bon Bon Chocolat. In terms of music video, I feel like they're doing something there. They're connecting sets in a way, at least for Adios and Dun Dun, because that they had, you know, those bare sets with large props. So for Dun Dun, it was a big iceberg. And for Adios, it was that giant fucking square in the middle of the desert. So I think there's something there. I don't know what it is, but they're connecting it. And I know Trinity doesn't like the current standard of CGI everything. So, like, we watched Follow by Monsta X, and she was like, I hate everything about this. And so I present her with Everglow, who has icebergs and halls filled with sparklers, and they're real and they're not CGI. They don't quite have a cohesive theme. There's no era like there is for EXO or ATEEZ or BTS, but they're still new, so we have time for that. In the meantime, they are slaying with general awesomeness. They are absolutely better, in my opinion, which should count for a lot, better than ITZY or Rocket Punch. Now, some issues here. People are hating on them a lot right now, which is insane. I'll fight you all. It's fine. Fans are saying that they are ripping off Blackpink.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They're ripping off Blackpink in terms of girl crush concept. That was what I read. And
Black
I was like,
Pink doesn't own the girl crush concept.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was like, how is there not anyone else besides Blackpink and Everglow who does this? Like, what? And then there was some issues with Adios that it sounds very similar to other songs. Because of that, I just need to tell everyone who's listening that they have zero and let me say it again for you in the back, zero choice. They do not produce their own music, so they have zero choice about any of this. And so they're getting all this hate for their girl crush concept and for their songs sounding like other songs, but it's like, it's not their fault. And lastly, people have been criticizing them because Mia has been getting a lot more screen time than everyone else. In Dun Dun specifically, she got a whole dance break all to herself. And so people have started calling it Mia and Friends instead of Everglow.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's just an asshole thing to do. Again, she has no choice. She does not get to decide how many lines she sings, and she does not get to choose where in the formation she was that she gets the dance break in this song. Like,
people need to calm the fuck down. It's just how it works. People don't understand that, like, when it comes to them not getting a choice in things, like, they don't get a choice in things very often. And so, especially the girl groups.
Yes, especially the girl groups.
So,
and the people who do are the ones that are like fully producing their stuff. Like BTS gets choices now.
ATEEZ gets Mamamoo. A lot of choices. Mamamoo.
Yeah, ATEEZ. But Everglow is from a small company. And even though they are very popular right now, they do not get a choice in any of the stuff that they do.
Well, and that goes to this next group that we're going to talk about, which is Signature.
Signature with a C.
Signature with a C. Which I didn't.
Yeah, no, I yeah.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It was cute. To me, it felt like, you know, the cliche girl group debut. It was fun. The aesthetics and the concept were super jumbled, so I stayed kind of confused on the visuals the whole time. The song felt very like old Red Velvet stuff. Red Velvet's my favorite girl group, so it wasn't bad. It just felt like they're like running behind on the times for the type of song it would be. For me, this was like, should have been released at the same time Girls' Generation was out when Red Velvet was debuting. To me, this is like that era, and they haven't done anything to catch up to this era.
It started off strong, even though it is definitely bubblegum. It has like a really hard bass line that kind of masks it. But you're right, it does come a little unglued in the chorus. The high notes at the end of the bridge are good, but they really can't save it from being boring. That's what it was. It was just boring and confusing.
And I know, like, we've talked about before that, like, songs don't have to have, or videos don't have to have concepts. But this one was super weird, and it didn't flow, and it was weird.
Yeah. And I remember that time I said that I hated Hyuna's shoes, and everybody made fun of me?
Yeah, nobody made fun of you. We just all disagreed with you.
Oh, whatever. I hate their shoes in this.
They're wearing choir heels.
Yes, they are. And they don't match their outfits. And they do groundwork in them. And, like, I get it. You all have different, you know, outfits that match you. But they're all wearing the same heels, which, one, annoys me. And, two, looks so wrong and so uncomfortable and so hard to dance in. And I'm just like, what the fuck? And then everything else is plaid. And I'm like, God, why is everybody obsessed with plaid?
It's that schoolgirl look that pedophiles like.
Well, that's the thing. It's got, they have the choir, the show choir heels, and then, like, sexy black lingerie dresses. And I'm like, what?
Those shoes are not sexy.
No! It's like, I guess, the thing is, the whole thing is confusing. The whole thing is discombobulating. There it is. Also, this title is not a word. This is not a word.
We all know how Abby feels about titles that aren't words.
Yes.
So,
yes.
We're going to go ahead and just move straight forward. There were a lot of girl groups we had to talk about this week, or this month, I guess. Luna dropped So What, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
enjoyed the aesthetic. I don't like believe these girls have the tempers or the bad attitudes that they're talking about, but they definitely played it off well. To me, it felt like a combination of Mamamoo and Twice, like a middle ground of the like little more hip-hoppy hardcore stuff that Mamamoo does with like the fun boppy bubblegum of Twice. It was fun. I enjoyed the badass outfits. I will say I was super thrown off by like this deep, intense talking intro that they did.
Burn yourself.
Only for it to be followed by like a little bit less of a hard song. But it was very neat. I enjoyed it. I know there was a lot of hype up because the internet like fucking loves Luna. Like, you can't go to any K-pop group's page without someone underneath, or Twitter, without someone underneath it saying, Stan Luna. But, I mean, I think it semi lived up to the hype up.
I have been anticipating Luna's comeback for a while, ever since we found out, you know, their company was going bankrupt or whatever, I don't know. And so it was So What was quite different than Butterfly.
Oh, very different.
And I assume that's probably because they were looking for a bit of a re-debut.
That makes sense.
But to be honest, it sounds nearly identical to Icy by ITZY, which I didn't really like. I mean, the moon caught on fire, but their dancing was on point. And but then, again, they cut me off at the knees with the ending. Guys, I don't have much leg left for you to keep doing this to me. So, all in all, it was a strong, unapologetic song that I didn't like at first. Like, I was prepared to be like, I hated this. I really didn't like it. But then I watched someone else react to it, and they brought up good points. And I was like, oh, I didn't even listen to that. Oh, I didn't even give myself an opportunity to listen to that. And so I started to appreciate their vocals more and more. I think the issue here is that they're buried under a really heavy synthetic sound. And so my song, in my opinion, it's overproduced. But there's no denying that their voices are strong and that they know how to use them well. So, like, there is a reason people love Luna. There's a reason to stan Luna. I just wish they would let us hear it more.
That's totally fair. Moving on, we've got Icon's Dive that they drop.
Literally, the harmonica started, and I was like, oh no. Oh no.
Shit you not. Like, as soon as that started, I was like, it's going down. I'm yelling timber. But like, and I couldn't stop thinking that the entire song. I was so distracted. I enjoyed the visuals. I did not enjoy the chorus dance. Felt so early 2000s, and probably because I thought of Kesha and Pitbull the entire time, literally could not focus on the song.
The music video did not match the song. Everything was on fire. Arrows were being shot. But it sounds so optimistic and not apocalyptic. Like, the world was ending, and yet they were like, let's go with a harmonica. And I'm like,
the harmonica, like, I don't understand the harmonica.
It's like when I watched the music video by Halsey for You Should Be Sad, and I'm like, I couldn't figure out why this pop western was going so hard for like a really slow song. And I was like, what?
It's and then she wants to light G-Eazy on fire.
I mean, that's understandable, but what? And then I'm like, okay, there's got to be something else. So I went looking for the lyrics, and then I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it now, because the lyrics are desperate, and I really like them. And, you know, sometimes the translation leaves things to be desired, but these are really meaningful and worded very specifically. And it says, if you're on fire, then I'll dive in. I'll say it's warm, and I'll flare up. So, like, I don't care what happens to me. I'm going to just love you, even if it kills me.
Which is kind of toxic, but it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's why it, one, sounds so optimistic, and two, is everything on fire. So I get it. I get it. I'm, in terms of Icon, I'm still not sure if it was shitty for YG to use BI songs
It's
or
absolutely
not?
shitty. Spoiler
Okay.
alert, it's absolutely shitty.
Cool. Awesome. I'm sure he was paid for the royalties, and so that
Oh,
probably,
probably
you know,
not.
helped. Well, he had to. His name was on it.
Yeah.
But it feels like salt in a wound. Also, why the fuck do songs not end properly?
You're really salty about it.
I am. This is not a good trend. We need to not do this. But yeah, like, but maybe those royalties paid for BI's new album. Like,
we'll
I
see.
don't know.
We'll see how it
We'll
goes.
see. We'll see.
So then we have Bandit that dropped Cool, which was completely in English.
I hated everything about this.
It was, the video was so boring. It was a fun song, but like nothing
it was
to
a cop out.
Jump out at me. But like, it's a cool song for like, if you're cleaning the house and you just want something to bop to. Other than that, like, I have nothing fun to say about it.
Yeah, I thought this was a comeback, and it's not. It's just a weird special thing. I don't know. It's called Cool, and it was just I didn't like it. I don't like it.
Fair enough. So then we have Rocket Punch with Bouncy. And we both, I'm looking at our notes, and we both said the exact same thing.
For once, we agreed.
Like, I have, wow, I put like, holy crap, hi SNSD Jr. Thank you for coming to fill the void that my original favorite girl group left in my heart.
And mine says, wow, it's like a throwback to SNSD's sound.
And so, like, unlike Signature that had that older vibe but kind of missed the mark, this added a new, like, musical flair, but still meeting a fun vibe that Girls' Generation had for me back in 2013.
I'm super impressed by this song. They had these simple melody notes under their dubstep in the chorus, which lightened the whole song up. It's very catchy and very bright. And I, again, still think Korea is far too obsessed with plaid because everybody's wearing plaid. But I digress.
It's the mullet of clothing. Oh, my God.
And then they have this cool progression in the bridge. And I'm feeling it. Like, I feel this group. Let's stand Rocket Punch. Let's bounce on out of here.
Let's bounce on out of here.
Get
so
it?
Then we have, yeah, I get it. Bouncy, bounce,
okay.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we have The Boys.
The Boys.
With their song Reveal. So impressed. Like, the boys tend to do the cliche boy group thing, like the bright, fun, boppy, like, oh, we're so cute and we're gonna sing a song called Bloom Bloom Plow or Pow, and then DDD,
it was about baseball. Okay,
it was, and DDD was one of my favorite songs of last year, but you know, it was a bright, fun, poppy song, and this was just completely different. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Love the dark concept. The rap line is killer. I love Jacob Bay, and I was like overall 300% impressed with this song. I know that in the past, Abby has talked about how like there's just a draw, and all of the groups have to do one style of video at a time.
You're damn right.
Which is like Card did a very similar video. Pentagon did a very similar video.
Yep, they all drew the same straw.
I definitely think that the boys did very well with this. It's what not what I, you know, it's not what anyone was really expecting from them because this is not the type of music they normally do. And I think they did it very well.
So after listening to 30 million songs, I would say this is a nice middle of the pack song. It's not outstanding, but it's also my favorite The Boys song so far. Their main vocalist sounds a lot like Baekhyun from EXO, which I really appreciate. That kid can sing. And then their speed rapper is really impressive. I don't know who he was, but it was really impressive. The riff in their bridge is really nice and sustained, and I love it. Like, they hit that note and they're like, yeah, I hit it. And then they immediately cut it off. And I'm like, no, hold
Hold it.
it. But nobody does, but this kid did. And I was like, yes, finally. So yeah, the boys. So since we talked about Rocket Punch, we have to talk about Cherry Bullet. And I'll be the first to admit that I get them mixed up because they came out at the same time and they both involve projectiles. But the difference in these comebacks is obvious, and I know we don't agree. Even though Rocket Punch was super catchy and SNSD-like, Cherry Bullet, to me, was just much more mature. And it was super creative to build this song around the sample from Fairlease. You know, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the only song that anyone can play on the piano, you know, that one that everyone knows but nobody knows the rest of it. That's that song. And they built an entire song around of it. It is super cool. If Q&A had sounded like this, I would have liked it a ton more. And then they do this awesome high kick in the choreo that I was impressed by, which I would have pulled my sciatica if I did, but it's fine. However, there is that whole ordeal about, whole three members leaving.
That was crazy.
But yeah, you hated it.
My opinion is I got 30 seconds into the song and turned it off. So there's that.
I mean, we're not going to agree on anything
ever,
today.
Apparently. We agree kind of on card. All run, baby, run. All run, baby, run. Card came back with Red Moon, and so like last year Card got two digital singles and that was it, which was super BS. But this year we finally got another mini album, and Card are my motherfucking babies, man. The whole album was great. Go Baby is an A+ B side. All of the B-sides were fucking bomb.
I see you.
See, I'm getting better. I'm getting better at the puns.
You are. I'm proud of you. I accept this.
I cannot get over how talented the group is, though. Like, they write their own songs. Their concepts are so versatile. I love how this song, and they do this in a few other songs, it's almost as if they have, like, three rappers and one vocalist. Where Jiwoo definitely contributes to Somin's vocals, she always has a really good part in the rap line. I adore Card. I love Card with my whole heart, and that's where I'm at.
Okay, let's be real. Did I like this song more than Dumb Liddy? Yes. Did I like this more than Bomb Bomb? No. But it was still catchy and fun, and Card definitely deserves more than they are ever given.
Ever.
They just need to take it. Take it all.
Take over the world.
Take over the world. I like Jiwoo's hair, despite it being zebra striped. All right? I think she rocks it.
So next we have Pentagon with Dr. Bebe.
That's a weird name.
You hate every K-pop song's name.
No, no, no. If this was Dr. Bae, that'd be cool. But like, it throws off the rhythm. Dr. Bebe. Bebe. I don't like it. Hey, Dr. Bebe. But anyway, listen, there's a reason Hui is my bias, and his long-ass hair is not the reason.
Is the mullet trend not over yet?
I don't know, but I hate it. But we have spoken many times about Trinity's obsession with Pentagon and how Shine was the best song in the world, but she wished they would have been accepted for their darker themes. Well, ba-ding, here we are. You can't get much fucking darker than this.
Yeah, was really caught off guard by it.
Mm-hmm. Metronomes are used in psychology specifically for hypnosis. So, Pentagon's putting a spell on us.
It worked.
The song is creepy. It's creepy. Especially in its choice of chords and how it highlighted everyone, and by everyone I mean we, their range really well.
Everything. I have so much to say about this video and about this say comeback. It. Oof, like where the fuck do I even start?
Probably at number one.
Number one. Fuck the fuck out of Cube.
Oh, okay.
For not letting Yanan be on their first full album. Fuck Cube for treating Yanan like shit. This man has asked to come back, and Cube will not even give him an inkling of a clue when he is coming back. And I know, he's Chinese. He's in a very similar situation as Lay from EXO.
Not necessarily.
SM is actually letting Lay promote.
Only because he's promoting in China, not anywhere else.
Well, that's fine, but they're not letting Yanan promote in China.
Because
he's
Yanan
just
doesn't have his own studio in China that they set up.
Well, listen. Does not matter. Just give me Yanan back, and everything will be fine.
This sounds like a ransom demand. Ladies and gentlemen,
it is.
We have a ransom demand.
So I posted a TikTok. Like, I was on a rant and I was like, Pentagon's coming back. And I swear, if Yanan is not in this one, I will drive my car through the ocean and go fight every member of Cube Entertainment. And someone replied and they're like, can we just go fight them anyway? And then Yanan was not in this one. So I had to go drive my car through the ocean. Do you know how inconvenient that's going
to
be?
Listen, your car barely makes it to the other side of town. How are you going to make it over the ocean?
Now, number two, I will say the video is slightly problematic. A lot of, or not a lot, a few people were upset by, like, mental illness and insanity, like, as an aesthetic.
I don't
get
agree
it,
with that.
But also, that's a little extreme.
That's a bit much. We've had this trope for a very long time. And I understand we are now learning to be more better.
Politically
we're learning
correct,
to be better.
Better.
But this is not highlighting anyone. This is not specifying on, you know, bipolar or borderline or even schizophrenic. This is tropey as hell. That's what that is. And we should know the difference. We should know this is cinema. This is not highlighting anyone's issues. It shouldn't be problematic.
But, and so, like I said, I can see one side of it. I can see another side of it. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Other than that, Wow. This is definitely the darkest concept they've ever done, and I am absolutely living for it.
Pretty sure this is the darkest concept there is, so.
Do I wish Yanan's voice had been in a few specific places? Yeah, his tone would have been super cool, like a bright touch to the dark song, but it would have been amazing to hear him in it. They pulled this song off so well, and I do want to note, like, Hongsuk, baby, like, you gotta be healthy. You have to eat. You can have your abs and still drink water and eat. He released in an interview recently that if they were going to promote or before they were recording, he wouldn't drink water for like 2 to 3 days before because he didn't want water weight. I know. We've Hold talked on. About it before. I know.
I was choking. That's insane. That's insane.
Yeah, it
As
is.
As a vocalist, you should know that water is the only thing that's going to keep him going.
Right. You would think. You would think.
Fuck water weight. Keep your vocal cords healthy.
But at the same time, like, you know, it's a thing. Like, he's one of the visuals, and he has these crazy abs, and so they have standards they have to meet.
God, I hate this industry.
Oh, I know. And yet we continue to contribute to it.
Damn it. Listen, I was trying to buy tickets to Everglow, but they are sold out, so I can't contribute.
You poor thing.
I know.
Woosuk was super intense, and Yuto has definitely claimed, like, a bias spot, despite me having an ult in Pentagon. He didn't, like, overpower Yanan, but he's definitely, like, a solid bias.
How would you know? You haven't seen Yanan in, like, 2 years.
Because I love that man with my whole heart, and no one will take that away from me. And so, but between watching him in concert and now this, like, I'm about the Yuto life. Overall, it was, like, a bomb-ass song. The rest of the album was good. It wasn't, like, great, but it was good. So, I'm you know, I'm done on my Pentagon rant.
Ah, just now? Where just I now. Woke up.
Is that Shut up.
So next we have some definite disagreement on our part.
Huge disagreement.
So the sixes. Everybody knows about the sixes. We got Black Six, We got A, B, 6, and we have apparently been divided into camps. Trinity really liked Black Six's Call My Name. Call my name. And I'll tell you right now, before I even started it, I was like, if this doesn't live up to GOT7, Say My Name, I'm not gonna like it. And I said that as a joke. But then I'm like, oh no, I hated every single choice that they made within watching like 30 seconds of it. It sounded like a mashup of three different songs on YouTube that didn't fit together. I did not like this song. And you're going to be like, oh, but Abby, you were biased. You were expecting GOT7. I'm like, well, yeah. Yeah, I was expecting GOT7, but it shouldn't be so penalizing to expect GOT7 and get Black Six. That should not be the vernacular. They should be able to stand on their own. They can't. They cannot. They did not. They shan't.
They shan't.
And then Trinity said, we're going to fight.
Yes. And so this is where, like, one of the biggest differences, I think, in a lot of ours that we have, like, we are polar opposite on this one.
Yeah. You can be wrong. It's fine.
Wow. It started and I just immediately went, like, F, yes. I have to censor myself because there's suddenly a 3-year-old in the room with me.
Lame.
I was all about it. The vocals were cool. The rap line was freaking awesome. The number of times I watched this video back to back to back to back was probably ridiculous. I also dug in a little bit. Like, the visuals were great, but also the leader's name of this group is Taeyang.
Wow. How apt.
So, right? So, I mean, that's already off to a great start for me. But if they keep going up like this with these styles, I definitely feel like they're going to slide into one of my top favorite groups.
Yeah, I completely disagree. Completely disagree.
That's fine.
I really dislike pretty much everything about this song. But you know what song I did like? It was AB6's Moon Dance. I see ya. We should focus on the love, love, love. I see ya. I'm a singer, Michael Todd.
Woong, which was just Woong.
What does that mean? You wrote that.
That's his name.
I don't know what
that's his name. It's just one member of AB6.
I mean, hold the fuck on.
This is going to be one of those instances that, like, you're going to be like, wow, Trinity, you were right.
Yeah, it definitely is. Nope. Yep, it is. Okay, fine. Fine.
Fine, Trinity, you were right.
I don't care, though. I don't care about that, because this song with just one member was still better than Black Six's whole comeback. So
I literally just have a shoulder shrug emoji.
Listen, it started off generic, I'll give you that. But then it switched up the beat and it laid back on a 3-4 note. And that was so clever and it was so impressive that I just went, oh, yeah. And it's very, very egotistic by Mamamoo. And I was digging it. And then I clicked away just to listen to something. And then when I clicked back, he was humping the floor. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. How old
what
is he?
Just happened?
What has happened? But did I add it to my playlist? Yeah, damn right I did. And I am living on his backbeat. Oh God, that sounds dirty. Dirty. Whatever. I still really liked it. I don't care. You know what else we did agree on, though?
We did agree hard on this one.
We agreed on Moonbyul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Moonbyul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot to say other than fuck yeah. Like,
Yeah.
she is a goddamn motherfucking queen, and I would do whatever she asked me to. The song felt so different from most soloists, like female soloists that you tend to see like nowadays. Like even from Hwasa, who's still a powerhouse woman that's like takes no shit, Moonbyul is just intense. She doesn't give a crap about like this aesthetic that she stands with. Like she's not your typical female aesthetic.
Yeah, my first thing says, okay, that's fine. Let's just destroy all gender roles. That's fine.
Yeah.
Buell really is just so incredibly well-rounded. It's insane. She's a triple threat. She's a singer, she's a dancer, she's a producer. And Moonbyul currently has 57 writing credits to her name, which
That's
is a
insane.
ton. The idol with the most copyrighted songs is G-Dragon with 173. So she's up there, top 15. And then fans are like really concerned that this means that Mamamoo is gonna split up. That's just ridiculous. Hwasa did her solo, and Wheein is constantly collabing with other artists. And so we know that they're not going to go anywhere. And on top of that, in their last album, which it was fucking bomb, and if you haven't listened to it, you should, they released a song called 4x4ever, which is just literally about them being four to the end. Like,
It was a great song,
yeah.
too.
And they're like, we're not going anywhere. And Eclipse was so good. Eclipse was like probably the pinnacle of everything Moonbyul's been working towards. She got to dance, she got to sing, she got to rap, she got to be exactly who she wanted to be. Like in all the interviews, people kind of comment on how sometimes she does dress a little bit different than them. And she was like, I just like being covered up. I just
And
like
that's
being
fine.
conservative. Yeah. And it's great that they let her. It's kind of like when Amber started coming into herself in FX. She got to dress how made her comfortable. And I'm really glad that Rainbow is letting Moonbyul be comfortable on stage. So I fucking love Mamamoo.
Listen, Moonbyul is well on her way to being my favorite, like my female ultimate bias. So,
Oh my God, we got through them all.
we did, holy shit, in an hour.
Oh my
We
God.
did it. And that's not including what you're going to cut out.
It's fine.
So, guys, yeah, this was a really long episode. We didn't talk about everything that we wanted to, but we also had a lot to catch up on. So, I won't tell you when we'll have a new episode because who knows with us? It is what it is.
We might switch to monthly things.
We'll see. We'll see
Monthlies might be
how.
better for everyone's schedule.
But we'll figure it out. We'll see. We just constantly have jobs changing and life happenings. And I have an entire cup sleeve event I have to prepare for Hobie's birthday. So, time consuming things. Our schedules never match up, and that is what it is, but
That's
that's
because you're
okay.
a fucking night owl. How do you survive past 11 o'clock? What does
Listen,
anyone do past 11 p.m.? There is
you
nothing. The
put
world
raffle
ends.
gift. You put raffle gift baskets together and watch AT's crackhead videos.
Oh,
That's
wow.
what you do until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Jesus Christ.
But regardless, we thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. If you have anything that you want us to talk about ever, just be sure to tweet it at us. It is at K-Pop Parade, KPOPARADE. We are always happy to grab your topics and talk about them. We will always do our research on them. So definitely let us know
We
what you want to hear
might
about.
always do our research on them.
We try real hard to do our research on things. But once again, I'm Trinity.
And I'm Abby.
And we will talk to you guys later.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.